So my talk today is about the very first chapter of the book, Can We Talk to God, that we're working on. And it's a joy to be the kickoff speaker of the first chapter of Can We Talk to God. Jen Fay is going to also talk about this chapter 2 weeks from now, and it's a very rich chapter. So there's plenty left for her to discuss, but I found some things that were particularly meaningful to me that I wanted to share. So he asks the question, can we talk to God? And then he says, are we talking at God, or are we talking to God, or are we talking with God? And that is really interesting. There were an awful lot of parts of speech that came to, to me to discuss during this talk. Those are the prepositions, to, at, and with. I've got adjectives and nouns to discuss as well when we talk about God. So Ernest went on as he addressed the prepositions. Are we able to talk to and with God as well as at God? And he said, and I think it was tongue in cheek, and if we can talk to God, we feel certain that a little conversation with a deity would do us more good than much conversation with each other. And I agree that a little conversation with the deity does us a lot of good. I think conversation with each other in an environment like this, or with people who are looking at life from a positive perspective, does us a lot of good. So I'm always in favor of that as well. But Ernest goes on to say, there is a universal consciousness which directly responds to our thought and is in contact with it. Not only does the human heart long for such a possibility, but the human mind comprehends, understands, senses, feels, and knows it. He went on to say, there are moments when the individual consciousness feels itself merged with the universal. Then it knows and no longer asks for explanations. The heart longs for, the mind comprehends, and the intellect needs such a contact. The influx of divine ideas stimulating the will to divine purposefulness. There is a present in the universe with which we may consciously communicate and which will consciously respond to such communication. I told Val in a text last night, I was working on my talk, and she said, just be yourself. You've written books about this. Bob said something similar. And I said, well, that's part of the problem. I've written 5 books about this, and the material is overly abundant. But I've picked a couple of pieces that are out of the things that I've written about and chatting with the beloved in the 4 books to share with you. And the first one is called Receptivity. And I was talking about this book, and I said, Ernest Holmes was describing receptivity to the divine in his book, Can We Talk to God? And B interrupted and said, yes, yes, the answer is yes. You can talk to God and receive an answer. You can, you are. And that was great. And then I said, okay, here's the Holmes quote. And it's actually not from this chapter. It's on page 58 in my book. The page numbers differ depending on which edition you have of the book. But in my book, page 58, a quiet expectation, a joyful anticipation, the calm recognition that all the peace there is and all the power is and all the good there is love. The living spirit almighty. And I said to beloved, I can feel you in that quote, B. I love that there is a deep sense of awe and reverence in Holmes' writing. I love feeling awe and reverence. There are so many different flavors of joy, Bea. I love exploring them with you. When I feel joy with you, I have more joy to take into my world. And Bea said, when you are feeling any of the flavors of joy, you are receptive. Awe, reverence, contentment, ease, bliss, wonder, silliness, freedom. They are all frequencies that are a match to us and to the flow of well-being we provide. It's not a narrow bandwidth. It's a wide, happy band. A wide, happy band. I just can see a marching band, a wide, happy band of eagerness on the part of the divine to connect with us. What a joy that is. I found a quote from transformational musician Robert Gass, who said, we are like a radio receiver that can be tuned to different bandwidths or stations. The energy of God is transmitting at its radiant frequency every moment of our lives. Most of the time, we're simply tuned to other stations. We don't feel it. Those of us on a spiritual path are scanning the spectrum of our consciousness, looking for the right wavelength. From time to time, the signal comes in, but there's often static. So we try adjusting the tuning dial back and forth. Gass teaches chanting as the spiritual practice that he uses to allow clearer receptivity to spirit's 24/7 broadcasts. But all of our spiritual practices, like prayer and meditation, continually adjust our dial so we may receive guidance at higher and higher frequencies. And what Beloved said, it's not a narrow bandwidth. There are many frequencies we can receive from spirit at awe or reverence or bliss or wonder or silliness. Laughter is a great way to connect. I call it cosmic comic consciousness. We can connect with the humor of spirit and treat life more lightly. Beloved said to me over and over again, lighten up. You're way too serious. Take life a little more lightly. And I wrote at the time that I was writing about the Gass quote about radio receiver and tuning to the different bandwidths. I said, however we access our intuition, we cultivate allowing, trust, and harmony. Clear intention anchors our experience as unconditional love. So we are opening to receive. We are inviting spirit in to talk to us. And I often rewrite my talk at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was ready last night. I had a really good talk. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, I got another idea. And I was thinking about the parts of speech and the prepositions and what Beloved and I call the timeless eternal nouns that we use in spiritual mind treatment all the time, love and grace and power and peace and light and wholeness and oneness and joy and health and prosperity. There's a dozen of them more. And those nouns are so moving. But what I got this morning is that until I started talking about Beloved and talking to Beloved and receiving from Beloved, I didn't think about the adjectives of God. And this morning I started thinking about the adjectives. God is available. God is here. God is loving. God is, somebody said about my writing with Beloved, it's fun, friendly, and familiar. God is real. God is receptive. God is listening. God is open. God is willing and eager to talk to us. God has all these close, fun adjectives. It's both and, you know, it's not either or. God is infinite, eternal, and all those things that are so big and so hard to comprehend. And then God is right here. And right now, God is here in my heart. I was thinking of a chant. I don't remember who did it. It was a woman. I remember a woman's voice. But over and over again, it said, God is here in my heart. At some point, I may be able to find that music. God is here in my heart. God is available to me. God is my friend. I can talk to God and hear from God. I can receive from God. And when I think about that, I think about the various ways mystics receive God, because everybody doesn't hear. Everybody doesn't write conversations. My first book is about dozens of visions that I saw in meditation. And for close to 15 years, my way of connecting with Source was visions in meditation. And I would see a vision. And then I learned that if I meditated on the vision, I would get the message of the vision more powerfully than I had before. And I had all those years of that means of connecting with spirit. And then I had the inspiration. Those of you who remember Kate Hannigan, every time I ring the bells, every time I talk about talking to Beloved, I talk about Kate, because Kate threw the book, The Shack, in my lap during one of our Wednesday night meetings. And she said, you're going to like this book. Read it all. I loved it. And you can keep it. I don't want it back. And I still have the copy of The Shack that Kate gave to me. It's very powerful and precious to me. And in The Shack, it says, God says to Mac in the book and the movie, you were born to live loved. If you live unloved, it's like being as a bird with clipped wings. You are unable to fly. And later on in the book, God says to Mac, if you live loved, you can soar. And that is such a powerful idea. And what I came away with from reading that book, and I know many other people did as well, is the desire to have that day-to-day, moment-by-moment, intimate connection with spirit. And the Holy Trinity idea that worked for Mac, the conversations idea that worked for Neil Donald Walsh, those weren't my way. I connected with the Beloved, chatting with the Beloved, because I had always resonated with Rumi and other mystics calling God the Beloved. And I started thinking about doing this talk, and I wanted to connect to how I started. And Bob and I sit at breakfast in the morning or on the phone most mornings, and we draw five angel cards, two for him and two for me and one for us as a couple. And then we read the angel cards, and then we read the daily science of mind reading. And then he is so kind to me because he allows me to read something I've written. What a gift that is to a writer, to listen to what you've written. And so this one day, I didn't have anything in mind to share with him. And I had a folder on my bed that had 40 or 50 Beloved conversations in it. And I just pulled out this one piece of paper. And it was from 9/30/09, which was in the first month when I started talking about talking with the beloved and started doing this work in this way. And I want to share parts of that because it specifically relates to what Holmes said in this chapter. I started out saying, I transcribed a wonderful Abraham Hicks quote yesterday, beloved. They said, when you are standing in your physical environment and you've turned your punch list over to other mortals, that's where your trouble lies. Do not give your punch list to mortals. Give your punch list to the managers of the universe because they'll get it done for you every single time. And I said, beloved, are you the managers of the universe? And B said, that's a grand term, managers of the universe. And it is definitely one aspect of source, and we are source. Yet in this conversation, that's not the facet of your relationship with us we'd like to emphasize. Cuddled up here now with you, nestled so sweetly in your heart and mind, we'd like to continue to focus on being your personal team. In other words, you don't need to take on trusting us to manage the whole universe right now. You are focused on getting to know us better, feeling the close, personal intimacy of our love and our care for you and the way things are working out in your life. In other words, there's multiple frequencies we can tune into. We can tune into the managers of the universe if that's what we're looking for, or we can tune into the sweet, heartfelt, intimate potential of loving relationship. It's all about our asking. It's all about where we tune that dial into one of the frequencies of spirit. There are many frequencies available to us. And I said, I really appreciate you focusing with me right now on my life. I love your enthusiasm about being my personal coaching staff and team. That feels very luxurious to me to have a beloved team who loves my life, who cares for me tenderly, who wants to handle my punch list for me. It almost brings me to tears to feel what a relief it would be to just hand it all over to you. Now, I hope everybody knows what a punch list is. It's when you buy a house that's being built for you, the builder gives you a opportunity to create a punch list of the things that weren't completed properly. And you say, you know, the paint in this room is not right, or the banister is not well secured, or whatever it is that isn't working correctly in the way the house was meant to be. They make a commitment to fix it for you before you sign off on the new home. Well, beloved says they are doing that for us endlessly. And they say, we do love your life, Connie, but that phrase doesn't do justice to how we feel about you. We love you. We adore you. We delight in you. We pay attention to you. They then talked about how when I was a kid, my mother used to take us to the pool. And I would say, Mommy, Mommy, look at me. And she'd be talking to her friends and not paying attention to me. And I would get frustrated. And beloved said, we were watching you then. We are always paying attention to you, focused on you, caring for you and about you. Your mom did her best to attend to everything, calling out to her for her loving attention. But as Abraham said, if you're looking to mortals, you're in trouble. Look to us. Look to us. You will always find that we are looking back. We were looking at you first. We will be looking first, last, and always. How does that feel to you, sweet girl? That makes me cry, B. You're starting to get through to my heart on a much grander scale. And B said, that's the grander scale we're looking for with you, Connie. We want to share with you the tenderness we feel toward you. And so let's go back to what Ernest said in this chapter. He said, there is a power and a presence in the universe which responds to us so completely, so perfectly, that we shall be amazed when we realize how completely and how perfectly we communicate with the indwelling God. There is something in us that longs for sympathetic understanding, the kindly response, the sense of a presence that is warmth, warm, pulsating, and colorful. He said, we are going to learn this. We can talk to God just as consciously as we talk to people. And if we expect it, believe it, and feel it, we will receive just as direct a response. Don't talk at it, talk to it. Sense and feel that it is within you, that it is just as conscious of you as you are of it. I am going to skip part of this. All of it's meaningful. I wanted to share all of it, but it's way too long. So I am going to come back to a piece here where Beloved said to me something that's different from what Holmes said in this chapter. What Holmes said in this chapter is, consider the spirit as a warm, pulsating, reciprocal thing. It presses against us. It flows through us. It is warm, colorful, and beautiful. It cannot be put into words. And in my writing with Beloved, they said to me, for the past 14 years, you have devoted your life with remarkable focus and passion to the idea that if we are truly God expressing, the capacity to express is inherent in our very beginning. You have rejected as untrue time and time again the oft-repeated statement that spiritual experience is ineffable, which is what Holmes just said. It cannot be put into words. B said, we have loved the sureness and fury. You have brought to your passionate conviction that you had to try, that you were driven to express what you experienced. In your trying, you've developed many skills and abilities. You've opened your heart and your mind. You have attracted wonderful teachers, students, and friends. You've developed a network, a human community who supports and loves you in your work. I'm looking at that human community right now, right here. This is my human community that supports and loves me in my work, and I'm so grateful to each one of you. Beloved went on to say, you have answered your calling day after day, recognizing it that this is your sole purpose, to receive the message of love and put it into words so that others can understand and feel it too. Yes, that is my purpose. And I'm so grateful to all of you who let me speak it. So I want to close with the other thing that came to me this morning to be shared. I had pulled out an old notebook that had some blank pages at the end to write down the adjectives at 6 o'clock this morning, that God is available and here and fun and friendly and familiar. And as I went to put away the notebook, it fell open to a page. And it was a beloved chat from September of 2010. And I want to share what that one said. It's much shorter. I said, "Just now I got a powerful surge of feeling beloved. Tapping into your presence is what it feels like to be unconditionally loved. Sometimes the words just don't feel like enough. I want to express how beautiful you are, beloved. I want to find a gazillion ways to communicate just how amazing your love is to feel." And B said, "Our love, see, yours and ours. You continue to open your heart, your mind, and your life to greater love flowing. Love wants to move like water flowing to the ocean. Relentless, inevitable, always present, always calling you to more life, greater expression. Your very lives, all of them, are the result of that calling of love to move in the world. Love wants to move. Love wants to be. Love is the impulsion. You have often said that you can find the peace indwelling all things, underlying all things, the peace of God from which all rises and to which all returns." It is the love, our love, which causes the arising and returning. God is love. God is here. God is available. Can we talk to God? Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. And each of us will do it in our own powerful and wonderful way. And it is good. And we get to be it, to feel it. Beloved said, "If I never shared it with anyone, my receiving it would make a difference in the consciousness of humanity." And so I honor the way that each one of us finds to receive the impulses, the ideas, the creativity, the paintings, the music, the love. Each of us expresses that divine energy within us in different wonderful ways that match our gifts and abilities and talents. Each one of us is God expressing on this planet. And the more we connect with the divine that is infinite and eternal, that is right here, right now, the better we are able to be God expressing. More and more consciously, more and more powerfully, more and more beautifully. That's what I wanted to tell you today.